As we mentioned several times before, the Lord wants us to exercise ourselves in godliness. And I thought it'd be good for us tonight to do some of this exercise. And of course, godliness is reverencing the things that are good. And we've just been singing about God's faithfulness. So we've been exercising ourselves in that sense. And now I'd like to encourage us to exercise ourselves in compassion. The opinion or the understanding that we have of compassion is that it is very good. But if we exercise ourselves more, we'll more have a higher esteem for compassion than we have had before. So if we go through these scriptures and see the Lord's compassion, I believe we will understand it more and have a greater regard for it and a greater desire to be compassionate like the Father is. So not only do we want to see the Father's compassion, we want to highly esteem that compassion and seek to have it for ourselves. In Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 is quoted in Luke 4. Let's turn to Luke 4, 18 and 19. Here he quotes Isaiah 61 and gives some of the compassion that the Lord is going to have, that's Christ, when he comes. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And notice now, these are spiritual sicknesses, and the poor are poor in spirit here, and that's who the gospel is preached to, those that are humble. And he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So they need the gospel. And deliverance to the captives, those that are captured by Satan and can't get out, and the Lord can give them deliverance from captivity to Satan. Recovering of sight to the blind, God can give those who are spiritually blind his sight if they will turn to him. And to set at liberty them that are bruised, so we can be bruised spiritually, and the Lord can set us at liberty from these evils. So in all of these things, the Lord is showing his compassion on those that are in need and those that are seeking him. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 3, we find the compassion of the Almighty God shown in his work, in even in the flood. Genesis 6, verses 1 to 3, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, those who are following God, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And the daughters of men should have been daughters of God. And here is their outward beauty. And they took them wives of all which they chose. They fell to a temptation. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So what's God's spirit doing during the 650 years before the flood? My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. So from Noah's time on, we see those that are born afterwards having their ages going down slowly but surely to being an average of 120 years. So 1,650 years, God worked with men all the way to 969 years of age. And yet it didn't seem like it made any difference to their conversion. Now he determined to work with them for an average of 120 years. And later we'll find that even that was too much. And so with Moses, he put that age down to an average of 70 years, which of course he still does even to this day. So that alone should show us that who is the ruler and who is actually directing and choosing how long men will live for. So now he's working with men for a shorter time, but for a longer time, it didn't seem to help. So now he's cut us down to 70 years Sometimes he has to work with souls longer than that to either form them or put them under his feet. Genesis 6, verses 4 and 5. God then shows his love and compassion on those that are going to be born. In Genesis 6, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. Also, after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were men of old, men of renown. So here God blesses these people very greatly, gives them strength and power that they had never known before. Verse 5, but how did they respond to God's plan and God's work? God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So it's not as though the Lord had not been extremely kind to the world before the flood. Living 700 to 900 years, that's not a small gift from God. God's Spirit struggled with them for almost 1,000 years before he gave up on them. Genesis 6, verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. How much does he love these people? He loved them enough until he was grieved at their hardness of heart. So the Lord found that all of his kindness didn't convert these people. So then he decides to start anew. Noah was the only one faithful, and he had only lived 500 years. But he was faithful preacher of righteousness. Now, he doesn't give his witness to Noah's family, but Noah was righteous. And he saved them anyway because he needed to have people to multiply on the face of the earth. Genesis 9, verse 1, God decided to start all over again with great encouragement to be righteous. Noah now is their one major example. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. A new start. Verse 2, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the field, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moves upon the earth, and upon all the fish of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. So he honored men with more power and more blessings than he had given before. Then verse 3, every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, even as the green herb, which he gave them in Genesis 1, or Genesis 3, I have given you all things. So previously, only the herb. Now, every living thing. So he's giving them more food, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. So more and more blessings he gives men. Genesis 9, 5, and 6. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. So he gives us another blessing. Nobody can shed our blood unless they pay for it, and God will make sure that they pay for it. Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So all these blessings now, even after the flood, and then in chapter 9, verse 7, and you, Noah, and your sons, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. He's going to give them a lot of children. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons, saying, and behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out from the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generations. Perpetual is never ending. And I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token, for a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. So here he gives man assurance. He will not destroy the world with a flood again. So each time we have a storm or a flood, we don't have to wonder if it's going to be worldwide or not. It won't be. So that's another comfort that he gives to man. Does he love man? He has great compassion on all men. In Psalms 111, verse 1 to 4, as we have seen in all these examples, one of the major ways of the Almighty God is that of compassion. We're seeing how great his compassion is, even to the unthankful and the evil. We need to have this kind of compassion. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Why? The works of the Lord are great. That's why. Sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. So if we have pleasure therein, we'll be seeking out these great works of God, and we'll see great compassion in all of his works. His work is honorable. His work is glorious. And his righteousness endures forever. He's following the laws just like he gives for us. And he made his wonderful works to be remembered. There's another blessing. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. So if we are gracious, showing favor to all men, and compassionate toward all men, then we're like the Father. So how great is his compassion? In Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7, his compassion now does not extend to those that sin willfully. Exodus 34, verse 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed on by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, that's kind, and gracious, that's grace, giving grace, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy, that's kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. So here he's making a distinguishing now between the ones who are seeking to do God's will and those that are willing to sin and determined to sin. Visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children and upon the children's children under the third and of the fourth generation. So he will by no means clear the guilty. He's still kind to those on earth. He doesn't necessarily punish them here on this earth, but he's not going to clear them on judgment day. They will pay the price. Psalm 73, verse 1, God is good to every man, everyone, especially those of a pure heart. Psalm 73, verse 1, truly, God is good to Israel, even who? To such as are of a clean heart. So he distinguishes now between everyone in the world, and his goodness goes to those who are of a pure heart. Let's turn to Psalms 145, verse 1 to 10. We see more of God's compassion. Psalms 145, verse 1, I will extol thee, my King, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Why? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Why? And his greatness is unsearchable. What greatness? One generation shall praise thy works to another. There's the greatness. And shall declare thy mighty acts. That's why we praise him. And I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. There's why we praise him. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness. That's why we should praise them. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. There's why we should praise him. And shall sing of thy righteousness. Another reason. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. There's another great reason. slow to anger and of great mercy. There's your kindness again. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. So we need to bless him more and more for all of his great and mighty works and for his compassion on all men. Now his judgment is going to be different, but right now his compassion and kindness is to all men. God is working with those that are righteous, even though they come into trouble. He's still working with them, and that is his goodness and his compassion on those that are trying to be good. But what about those that are wicked? Matthew 5 and verse 48, we are called to have the compassion of the Almighty God, which is the divine nature. Be ye therefore perfect, complete, and that's the perfect love, even as your Father which is in heaven is complete, perfect. He has that complete love. So compassion is a great part of his love. We need to honor and glorify him for his compassion and desire to have that compassion toward all men. God doesn't need our compassion, but men do, who are found in sin and in need. So the Almighty had revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son. Let's turn to Hebrews 1, verse 3. Here we see, through Christ, God's compassion. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he's the brightness of God's glory, that's Christ, and the express image of his person. So he's in the exact image in Greek of his character. So when we see Jesus' character, which is his inner man, we're seeing the Father. In John 1:14, the glory of God is seen in Jesus, if we can see that glory. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus, when he was on earth, was filled with favor and truth. And if we'll see that glory that God has given him, which is the glory of his inner man, then we'll also have great glory in our sight as we see Jesus' great glory. John 12, verse 45. John 12 and verse 45, we see the heart of the Almighty Father when we see the earthly Jesus. And he was revealed to us on earth. He's not revealed now much as he was while he was here on the earth. And as a man, he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. So as we're looking then at Jesus on earth, we're seeing the Father. When we see Jesus' compassion, we see the Father's compassion. So let's see some of Jesus' compassion. John the 14th chapter. John 14, verses 1 to 3. Notice the compassion toward the apostles. Now, they're having a struggle. They're not understanding like they should. But nevertheless, Jesus has compassion on them and on their weakness. So we can have compassion on other people's weakness, and we can count on God to have compassion with us in our weakness. Here's the heart of God. Let not your heart be troubled. It was being troubled. He comforts them. Don't do it. Don't let your heart be troubled. Why? Got to have faith in God. And he says, you do believe in God, believe also in me. So they needed more faith in God so their hearts would not be troubled. And when all these things happen around us, what do we do with the Father? Do we trust him and let our heart not be troubled, or is our heart troubled? Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So there is a place for us, and it's prepared. And Jesus is going to further prepare it. I go to prepare a place for you. Is that a comfort? Well, if they weren't going to go there, then what good would it be to prepare a place for them? So they have great hope by this promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, which he's going, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So there's our great hope. Jesus has compassion on the apostles to tell them about this and to tell us about it. So we do have this great hope, and he has this compassion to give us this hope. So we need to encourage each other with this hope. John, the 14th chapter, verses 4 through 10. Jesus had great compassion on the apostles and their feeling and their fear. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, it was true. They did know, and they did know the way, following Christ. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where you go. How can you know the way? Well, Jesus just told him, you did. Well, he still got great compassion on Thomas, even though he contradicts him. What happens when somebody contradicts us? Do we get insulted, or do we still have further compassion on them and answer them wisely? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So where's he going? No man comes unto the Father. That's where he's going. And they can't go to the Father except by Christ. Why? Because he's the way to go to the Father. He's the truth, the light that shows us the way to the Father, and the life. The life is life eternal. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Well, still a fact, just like it was when he first said, you know me, you know the Father. Well, they did know Christ. They did know the Father. So he's having compassion on them in their ignorance that they don't know. In verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Well, again, it's a gentle contradiction, but it's a contradiction. How does Jesus respond? He's got compassion on their weakness and ignorance. It's not that they don't have it. They do know. Jesus just told him, the way you know, and you know me. From henceforth, you know me. Jesus in verse 9 saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He just told him, you do know me. You've not known me, Philip? So it's a gentle rebuke. He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? You've already seen him. You know him. Well, sometimes we know we don't know that we know. Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Well, how is the Father in Christ? Because he has the Father's love. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. So who are they actually seeing and hearing? They're seeing the works of God through Christ. They're hearing the words of God through Christ. So how does God not dwell in Jesus? So as we see the apostles speaking the words of God, who's in the apostles? As we see Christ speaking the words of God and doing the works of God, who are we actually seeing? We're seeing the words of the Father and the works of the Father. So we're seeing the Father in Christ. So Matthew 14, verse 14, we now look at the compassion that Jesus had as he did these great works. So it wasn't just a great work. It was a work from a good heart. And that's the heart that Jesus was given and the Father formed in Jesus. And now that's why God then can show these works through compassion that was in Christ. When Jesus went out, verse 14, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. So we can do good for others and be moved with compassion. And Jesus saw this great multitude. So he knew that these same people in time would finally crucify him, but did it matter? No, he knew that they were blinded. So when people do evil to us, what should we understand? They're blinded. We need to have compassion on their blindness. Nevertheless, he healed their sick and had great compassion on them. We need to have that same great compassion. Mark, the first chapter, Mark 1, verse 40 to 42. Though most despised the lepers, and we do today, Jesus had great pity for them. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Where were all the people as the lepers kneeling there? They're backing up. They don't want that leprosy. They're not going to have compassion on this man. They say, Get away from us. We don't want you around. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will have compassion. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. So Jesus had compassion on this disgusted man or disgusting man. So we need to have that kind of compassion on all those. We look around and we see some of these, what we call rednecks, and some of the others that we look down on and pity. We not only should pity them, we should have compassion on their ignorance and pray for them so the Lord will open their hearts. Mark the 6th chapter, verse 34. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. Why? Because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So what about those that are led by these false shepherds? The people don't have shepherds today. Well, they're blind. They need someone to guide them. We need to have compassion on them. And anyone that's willing to listen to us, we should immediately begin to have compassion on their ignorance and share what we know. We also need to have others to show compassion on us and share with others what they know and understand. Matthew the 20th chapter, we see verses 30 to 34. Though the world had little or no compassion on the blind, and many don't have that compassion even today, Jesus had great compassion on every blind man. And behold, verse 30, two men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them. There's the typical attitude, because they should hold their peace. Why? Well, they were blind. They were disgusting. They sinned, therefore they were blind. Or their parents sinned, therefore they're blind. So they're not worth anything. Well, that's the way the world thinks. But they cried out the more. They didn't care what men thought. Have mercy on us. Have kindness on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Kindness is very close to compassion. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will you that I should do unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their eyes received sight, and they followed him. So Jesus had great compassion. We also need to have that kind of compassion. And of course, we can't do what Christ did, but we can do what we can do. So the reason Jesus healed them was because he had great compassion. So Matthew 14, verses 35 to 36, these were not just miracles. This is not only the witness of God. This was the compassion of God that was merciful to these people. Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 35 and 36, Jesus gave them permission to touch him so they could be healed. I think it's okay now. Somehow it muted me. Luke, the 6th chapter, and verse 19. Luke 6 and verse 19. Jesus made no difference between the rich and the poor, but healed them all. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue from him and healed them all. So he showed compassion on everybody, especially those that were sick. In Matthew 15 and verse 30, he made no difference to Jesus whether they were poor, rich, illiterate, or educated. Matthew 15, verse 30, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So here are even these people, when they see that Christ can heal, they had compassion on these that were sick and brought them, even if they couldn't come themselves, and they cast them down at Jesus' feet. Matthew 19 and verse 2. Matthew 19 verse 2, he never seemed to tire of his compassion for these souls, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Let's turn to Luke, the 7th chapter, and verse 21. Luke 7, verse 21, the poor and the needy were shown great favor in his compassion. And that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. So anyone in need, and we should have that same kind of compassion, and ours should be the same kind. We should have great compassion, supply all the needs in every way that we can. So his generous hand of love touched the child, the adult, the nobleman, the beggar, the Jew, the non-Jew, the stranger, and those close to him, everybody. Matthew 8, verses 5 through 10. He healed the Gentiles, whom no man, no Jew, was even allowed to touch. Matthew 8, verses 5 through 10, the Jew couldn't even talk to the Gentile. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, who was a Roman, he was a Gentile, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, thy servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, to thy servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Well, Jesus healed other Gentiles too, even though he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But these people were in need, so when they came, he healed them. So he had no prejudice against anybody. He healed everybody. Very often, Jesus healed regardless of place or time. He healed by the sea, at a pool, inside, outside, at a home, in the synagogue, or in the temple. His healing was not reserved to time of the day or days of the week. He even healed the Jewish Sabbath, though he was hated and persecuted for doing that. So in Matthew, the 8th chapter, verses 16 and 17, Matthew notes that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy concerning his compassion. Verse 16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that was possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed many that were sick. What do we think about these people that we think are crazy? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. What kind of sickness was this? Both the mentally sick and those that were healed, physically sick. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. He tells about this in fulfillment of a prophecy. Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. So he did good. And how did God repay him? By striking him and smiting him and afflicting him. But of course, it was for his good. He grew by this weakness and by the suffering, and it was for our good. We grow by following his example. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, not just to have our sins forgiven, but to have us an example to follow him. So as we take the Lord's Supper, we don't just think, okay, he did this for my sin. We think Jesus did this so I would follow his example and have compassion on all these, though they hated him. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Not just his blood, but with his stripes we are healed. Why? We follow his example to show compassion on the ignorant and those that hate us. Isaiah 53 and verse 12, Isaiah shows his father's response to his compassion. Therefore, because he was compassionate, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So Jesus did all this, and verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. Why did the Father do that for the earthly Jesus? Because he had this compassion on all these people. We need to have that same kind of compassion. If he does, if we do, what kind of response do we expect from the Father? So Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 32 to 38. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. Well, why did he not do this the first day? Well, they had people that came and sold goods and they were able to buy the goods, but now the goods are run out by the third day. So now it's time to feed these people. Why? They have a need. And if they don't eat, they're liable to faint in the way. And yet they had showed love for God's truth, that they would listen to his truth, even though they knew they'd run out of food. So verse 33, and his disciples came unto him, when shall we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have you? And they said unto him, seven, and a few little fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. He took the seven loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left seven baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, besides women and children. So how many did he actually feed? But he fed them out of compassion. In Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 13 to 16, Matthew 10, verses 13 to 16, and they brought him young children that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. So they had no compassion on these little children. Why? Well, they're just children. Don't worry about them. Get them out of the way. We got work to do. They're in our way. They'll stop us from doing our work. But when Jesus saw it, he had was much displeased, not just a little bit, and said unto them, suffer ye little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. So they saw, the disciples saw, the children that were going to stop them in their work. Jesus saw little hearts that were humble, that would believe what they were told, that would obey when they were commanded. That is the kind of heart that Jesus wants in all men. And he saw that kind of heart, and he had great compassion on that kind of heart, but he didn't have that much compassion on those that were rebuking them. So he rebuked them. Well, that was a kind of compassion. So Jesus showed compassion to the children and to the apostles in their ignorance. Verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. So how much did they weigh? Well, I don't know how strong Jesus was at that time physically, but he took them up in his arms. So these were little children that had faith, and they would believe whatever they were told. That's the kind of people the Father wants. Well, he's going to show compassion even on the ignorant. Nevertheless, he shows special compassion on those that are weak in faith. So we could multiply these miracles many times. And Mark, the 6th chapter, and we'll close here, verse 31. Here they were pushed to the point of not being able to eat. So, and he said unto them, verse 31, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place. Why? Well, he's having compassion on the apostles. There's no time to eat, so he's going to take them out where they can eat and rest a while. They needed to rest, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Verse 32, there was no relief. They departed unto a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and they knew him, and they ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, came before them, and came together unto him. They knew where they were going. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So they weren't just hungry at this time. Now they were hungering and thirsting after the truth of God. And Jesus was not going to deny them this. When our children are ready and willing to eat, what should we do with them every day? Well, when they're willing to eat, we should have compassion on them and feed them. They need all the truth of God. We need to have great compassion. And as we exercise ourselves in seeing the greatness of God's compassion, we need to be encouraged to have compassion more and more to those that are in physical need, but especially those that are in spiritual need, and especially those who are sheep gone astray. The compassion of God is a marvelous and wonderful thing. May the Lord be praised for his great compassion. We'll have the closing hymn now.
We'll sing the first, third, and last. If you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank you, Father, for this day you have blessed us with to see now the first day of the week. We thank you, Father, able to come together this evening to sing praises unto thee and able to vote one another to love and good works. We thank you, Father, for the lesson we just heard to be how to learn to be compassionate and that we can love one another and to do better to obey your commandments through that word, which is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway, and do all things to Christ that will strengthen us. We thank you, Father, for our congregation that we can help be strong and faithful. And we thank you, Father, for our young people and our congregation that they might take the heart to do what's right and to remember Creator in the days of thy youth, that they continue to get able to carry on the work of the Lord through thy divine will. We thank you, Father, for Brother Johnson and the lesson that he gave this evening, that he continued to preach that word and give him the strength that he needed, as well as his family as well. We continue to ask that blessing from those who've been mentioned this evening who were on our sick list. There are many, and we ask you, Father, to comfort them, especially those who are still dealing with this COVID virus, and ask you, Father, to comfort them and that they're able to get their strength back. We ask you, Father, for those who will be traveling and those who still have gone to different areas during this time, that they have a safe journey and return back home safely while they hurt harm or danger fall upon them. We ask you, Father, now to dismiss us from this worship service, and if it be your will to bring us back during the midweek, that we're able to fellowship with one another again. We ask, bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
Very good lesson. We appreciate that.
That's good. Appreciate that.
Very good lesson, Brother Johnson. We appreciate it.
That's good. Any update on Doris or Ricky? Or Chase? Does Sister Ida have an update on her family? Okay, update on Ida's people from Cara that this morning when she talked to her, they were all, still all sick but stable.
Good.
Leslie Watson said she appreciated the lesson. Oh, okay. She's on now.
Hi, Leslie.
Hey there.
Leslie, press star 6.
Leslie, press star 6.
Hello?
Okay.
Hey.
How are you guys?
Happy to hear you. I'm so sorry I didn't see your message until the end, but we're happy to hear your voice.
That's all right. We understand. I didn't message soon enough.
Hey, Miss Leslie. This is Cara. Happy to hear you.
Hi, Miss Cara. How are you guys?
Hi, Cara. Miss Cara, is that really you?
Hi, JP and Rose. So good to hear
hi.
You.
Hi. Dick Watt says hi.
How big is Jake now?
He's good.
He's 30 pounds, and he's 1 year old.
Wow.
He was standing at the cabinet today and walked, like, felt his way over to the oven, and he can reach our knobs. I sent Quentin a picture, and I was like, we have a problem.
Bam, bam.
So, yes, very much, bam, bam.
Hey, this is Steve. That some people wanted to see Luke, so.
Yeah.
Do what?
Hey, Leslie, it's Leslie, this is David and Margie Watkins. We're glad to hear from
hey,
you.
Hey, how are you guys? We miss y'all.
Good.
You can say hi.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hey.
There is Jay. Oh, aww. Wow.
And it's Luke.
What a bright-eyed little guy. All right, Leslie, stick yourself on video, too.
Sunshine.
I don't know if I can do that. I'm in the car.
Baby Sunshine.
Hi.
How are you?
He's interested.
Hey, Luki. Hi, what's a baby? What is that baby?
He used to talking to his grandparents in the Philippines on FaceTime.
That's great.
Hi.
Where's
Baby Sunshine. Hey, Baby Sunshine. Hi, how are you?
Good.
That's wonderful. Good to hear your voice. Voices.
Yes, too.
Are you in the car?
We are in the car.
Have you been having leather soup?
Leather soup.
Leather soup, Miss
Peter. Leather soup. I don't have any more leather soup.
Oh, leather soup.
Leather soup.
I thought she was saying leather soup.
I know.
they miss that very much.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. You don't have a wet market? All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
He looks like you.
A little bit.
Yeah, he does. A chip off the old block.
A lot skinnier.
Hello, Leslie. This is Ted and Francis. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your guys's. We miss y'all.
We miss y'all.
I wish it wasn't such a long drive to get to you guys.
I wish it was 1 hour. I wish it was 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
So where are you driving to now?
Burger King.
I'm in JP5.
Not quite Columbia. Aw.
No. I'm going through Rose's room right now. And
what's wrong?
So
will they let you drive out of New York? Leslie, will they let you drive out of New York?
They will. However, the military will not let us.
Oh.
I have to. Can you two stop, please? Closely. We have to go through our commander and get a memorandum. Get accepted to fly. To leave base.
Mm.
Or wow.
The state of New York.
Wow. Okay.
My dad and my stepmom got to come up for Thanksgiving.
Well, that was good.
But it took over a week to get them to